This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
What up, what up, what up, what up, what up? I'm Michael Payne. I am neither Sarah, Hugh, nor Doc. I'm filling in for Sarah and Hugh, but for now I'm filling in for Doc as well, because Doc is on black people's time. I'm black, so I can say those types of things. But I'm actually punctual for once, right? Has Doc just walked in?
Yeah.
Oh, we had a bet. Oh, here he is. That's really annoying. I was just talking about you being on black people's time, sir.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Flipping hell.
What happened?
That was pretty tight.
That was very tight.
Yeah, yeah.
I got caught up.
I got caught up in some bullshit. We won't worry about that right now. I've just seen a picture of a massive penis.
There it is.
It's always good to walk into.
That leads us into our oh no, we didn't. oh yes, he dicked.
Oh man, you know what? Before we even go any further, I have to apologise for taking the show this close to having no Sarah, no Hugh, and no Doc 2.
Yeah.
Because we've variously had one of the three.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Every single time there's been
and
at least one
with
of
that.
You. Right.
But I think, like, leaving the show down to me is, I mean, that's a crazy risk.
Yeah, of course.
Who does that? What kind of producer would even think of continuing the show with just me at the wheels?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's insane.
Well, there's a lot of legendary bands that have done that, haven't they? Just like... The Sugar Babes. We could have just called it The Sugar Babes Show. Because
after a while,
they ended up just a brand new lineup. They weren't even the Sugar Babes anymore.
I kind of feel that way about Oasis a little bit. I know, like, Liam and Noel are the main guys, but, like, what is that band, really? It's like two brothers that hate each other and then three randoms.
It's just some random
every
guys
gig.
From Manchester.
Yeah.
Some session musicians.
Yeah.
It is quite crazy. But you're here.
I am here.
Yeah, that's
how you been, man?
Thing.
I haven't seen you for a minute.
No, I know. It's been a while, right? It's been a while. I think the last time I heard from you was your birthday invitation.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I need you there.
I'm going to be
there.
I'm going to be there.
Now you're invited as well. I know. I sent you the invite. It's coming.
Now you can be my plus one.
There you go.
Don't bring any homeless people.
Yeah, no homeless.
No homeless French guys. Right, do you not know about Natalie's capers?
I don't know. I was just vetoing the homeless people early.
Yeah, we were speaking about this on... Because obviously I present the show on Friday, the
Fridays
Friday Social.
With you,
And we had a running joke on there. We weren't, you know... Natalie, we don't make Natalie the butt of our jokes, you know, at all.
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe the... Yeah, just a tiny little butt.
So what's the deal with Nat and the homeless?
Do you want to tell the story again, Natalie? If it's not
Fine,
too painful for you.
So I was in France... Paris, right. very nice.
Uh-huh.
And I saw a homeless man that was very attractive, so I bought him a cocktail. What's wrong with that?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Because, you know, usually, traditionally, you'd buy them some soup, you'd give them some change, maybe a little crusty roll to go. You know, you were in France, could have bought him a little baguette.
Although they do appreciate booze.
Exactly. No, that's true. And a cocktail, you kind of upgraded him. Do you know what I mean? He's probably...
How did he react?
He said, merci.
Merci.
Nothing further.
No, because it didn't smell that good.
Right,
that's the other thing with homeless folk.
Shower gel or something as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I like your standards though, Nat. That's good to know.
Or maybe some Jean Paul Gaultier.
There's hope for all of us.
EDT. There is hope for all of us. It's true. If a homeless guy can get like chirped on the Parisian street, there is indeed hope for us.
Very much so.
We've got a jam-packed show for you today.
We have, as always. We've got... Listen, we'll all be finding out what's been taking a piss out of your life in the second half of the show, as always. So if you've got anything that's on your mind, hit us up right now on FUBAR Radio.
Yeah, from now.
Tweet us at FUBAR Radio or email us at tuesdaydrive@fubarradio.com. Let us know what's been taking the piss out of your whole life this week. We'll be getting into the no they didn't very, very shortly. And also, you know, don't forget, like, if pushed, even when sweaty, even when riding from one drama to the next on my bike with no helmet, no lights, I can still rap about anything.
Anything.
Yeah? So if you've got any suggestions for subject matter, I'll try and spit whatever you want to hear about this week at 5 to 6. And between now and then, we've also got the incredible legendary comic actor Tom Davis, who you might have seen in Plebs, you might have seen in Murder and Successful. Personally, I'm an absolutely massive fan. Me and Nat have been trying to get him on the show for fucking ever. Mm. And we finally got him in today, so we're very excited about that.
Brilliant.
Stay locked for Tom Davis at 4:30. So, no, they didn't. Who, what, where, why? Fill us in, Michael.
Well, basically, very recently, a husband was allegedly dumped over a tattoo, a very interesting tattoo, stretching 6.5 inches down his leg after a drunken prank.
Right.
A self-inflicted tattoo, might I add. He did the tattoo himself. It's actually a really realistic drawing.
This is why I saw a huge phallus when I walked in.
Mm, okay. Exactly.
And it was
exactly.
Nothing to do with Michael. It was nothing to do with that.
Nothing at all to
do with
me.
Homeless Frenchman.
He could have been homeless. Maybe he's homeless now if his wife kept the house.
To describe it for the listeners, it looks a bit like a Matt Groening penis. If Matt Groening drew dicks, it would look like this. It's kind of real simple, but real.
Yeah, because the thing is, the thing about the penis is that it is actually a very simple shape.
It is.
The phallic shape is a very simple shape. Yeah. I look at mine all day. Yeah. And
depending on the vein levels, I think it's a simple shape.
Indeed. And he's actually drawn one, or tattooed one, right, on his leg, kicked out by his wife. His name's Stuart Valentino, and he got the X-rated inking on his thigh as a drunken joke, but the prank backfired horribly. His wife Samantha decided that she could no more, she couldn't take it after it meant the family had to scrap the holiday and swimming trips with their 3-year-old daughter Ayla, or Isla. I don't know how you pronounce
daughter.
That. They have a daughter, a 3-year-old.
Jesus Christ.
So Stuart said, my wife hates it. In retrospect, I'm not surprised. It really is the stupidest thing I've ever done. After I did it, my wife woke up in the morning screaming because there was this massive penis poking out of the duvet.
Why didn't you just draw it on? This would have been funny for a day.
The quote's actually really funny. After I did it, my wife woke up in the morning screaming because there was this massive penis poking out of the duvet and the tattoo on my leg.
Jesus.
It caused no end of rows, and she's now kicked me out of home. I deserve it, I suppose. Samantha bought Stuart a tattoo gun as a Christmas present, but immediately regretted the gift when he tattooed a 6.5-inch member down his thigh.
She has some thought of her own.
That's
there.
The thing, yeah.
If your husband's a fucking idiot, which this man obviously is, you don't buy him something that can make a permanent mistake. You don't buy a fucking idiot a gun. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You
exactly.
don't buy him a tattoo gun.
Exactly.
Don't get him anything that they can put. But I've actually done this prank. Not this exact one with the penis, but I've done the tattoo.
Yeah,
prank.
I've got friends that
I put a temporary tattoo of Spider-Man on my ass.
Right.
On one cheek. And, broke it down to my wife, like, real gentle, real serious.
This is who I
deadpan.
Am now. Yeah.
This is what I'm about. Do you know what I mean? I've been wanting for years to do this, and I finally thought of something that means enough to me, to both of us, in fact. To make it permanent.
Is she a Spider-Man fan?
And she was like, you haven't got a tattoo. You haven't got. And I was like, I have. But I think when you see it, you recognise that it was meant to be.
Yeah.
She was like, fucking hell, where did you get it done? And I just pulled my trousers down. And she went absolutely apeshit. It's
amazing.
Hilarious.
Amazing.
And then I started scrubbing it off. Do you know what I mean? Which is what Stuart should have done. I mean, what's he thinking?
That would have been a picture, by the way.
He's not thinking.
You showing your wife your ass, her screaming, and you like vigorously scrubbing your bum cheek in front of her while she's still
screaming. Out of context. No caption. That would have been awesome.
But it's funny because, very recently...
I remember when Doc Brown meant something.
Very, very recently, a friend of mine, a superstar, Ed Sheeran, he got his... He got a tattoo, a very interesting tattoo.
Yeah.
If you look on Ed's Instagram, it's Teddy's Photos. And he got a massive lion's
head. Is it really big? I heard it was big.
It's huge. I'll show it to you in a sec.
So
right?
The shirt he's wearing in this photo, which is like one button undone.
Yeah.
Would you see the tip of the lion?
I reckon you'd see at the very top of its mane. And the thing is, obviously, Ed being a redhead, he will have red chest hair.
Oh.
So it will almost look, when the hair grows back, because obviously you get your chest shaved if you're going to have a tattoo.
Yeah, yeah.
But when the hair grows back, it will look like a 3D tattoo. And he recently got into a bit of a... There it is. Yeah, we're
fuck.
Looking at it now.
And you know the redness that you get from a fresh tattoo as well? If you're already red, that's a lot of red.
That's the thing. Ed's pale as hell. So even when the tattoo, the vividness of the tattoo, when the tattoo kind of fades as it gets older, it will still be vivid as fuck.
Yeah, Michael, you're a heavily tattooed man.
I am a heavily tattooed man.
How are you feeling the full colour?
I'll be
lion?
Honest with you. I like it. You know the thing is, right? Ed, Ed never used to be that tattooed. And right. when we first met, he noticed how many tattoos I had. Mm. And I remember saying to him, just as a word of advice, I said, do you know what, right? If you, because he was saying, like, I want to get some more tattoos. And I said, because your skin's so pale, I think, you know, colourful tattoos would really
stick out. Yeah, well, white
really
people have more
out.
Options than with the tattoos.
I don't have much colours in my... I've got, like, a pin-up. I've got an Afro pin-up. With red stilettos.
Red shoes, yeah.
Yeah,
and that's that, to be fair, it's in the crook of your arm, so it's the lightest.
Exactly.
The lightest point of.
Exactly. Of a black man's skin, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I said to Ed, I said, as an observation, it wasn't advice. I didn't say, go and get a fuckload of really bright tattoos. Like, I just said, if you did.
Wow.
He went and did it. So, his dad hates tattoos. What do you think Ed went and did? He blamed it all on me.
So you're saying you're the inception of this shit? I mean, this is like third page news, like nationwide.
Yeah, anything Ed does makes especially in the tabloids, because
incredible, isn't it?
It's always a slow week for news in this
country. You know what I love most about Ed? That he just doesn't give a fuck about anything. The only time he's going to get passionate about like a conversation is if you talk about music. All the rest, he gives it such short shrift, and I love that.
Of course,
do you know what I mean? Because that's so he should. Because he is a musician.
He is all about the music.
Which
right.
is quite nice.
But he recently got into a bit of a Twitter spat with, I wouldn't call it a Twitter spat, you know, not on the same level as Calvin Harris's and Zayn Malik's, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
But Tom Chaplin from Keen, one of the best bands in the world.
Yeah, wouldn't like to fuck with Tom.
Nah, you don't fuck with Tom. You know what I mean? He's been to rehab with like Justin Hawkins and Pete Doherty.
He's one of those.
He's a bad boy.
Yeah, he's one of those musicians where if you punch him in the stomach, you might not get your fist back. That stomach's just going to like form around
the fist. That's my fist now.
That's crazy.
And so basically Tom just kind of trolled Ed and was like, you know, you've got the worst tattoo in the world.
Why is he getting involved?
Exactly. Exactly.
Why is he getting involved?
Especially a man of his, the way people perceive Tom Chaplin. I love Keen's music, and I'll be honest.
Oh, that wasn't sarcastic.
No,
okay,
genuinely
right.
wasn't.
No, fair
I am
enough.
A Keen fan, okay. right? I am a Keen okay. fan, right?
Fair play.
And but I also know that Keen, I wouldn't say that they're a joke, like, you know, but a lot of people do kind of perceive them as a joke band, you know, not a real band. They don't even have a guitarist, blah blah blah. And or is it is it a drummer or a guitarist that they don't have? I think it's a guitarist, isn't it? Yeah. So they've got Keys, they've got Tom Chaplin, and they've got a drummer. And people always, you know, that's usually the, you know, they're the butt of a lot of Muso's jokes and stuff. And so I was thinking to myself, who are you to really be trying to go at Ed? Like, really and truly, if it was a... Oh, right, okay, cool. We've just had word that he's actually apologised. Didn't he go to rehab for being addicted to port?
Yeah, he did.
That's amazing. That's incredible. That's like going to rehab for eating too much Gruyere. That's fucking outrageous.
He said he thought it was a joke. He didn't think it was
real.
He thought Ed was putting a fake picture on, and he thought it was a joke, so he had to sort of apologise.
Right.
But a lot of people enter into these...
He should have stuck by his guns, right?
Yeah, a lot of people enter into these spats with Ed and end up apologising. Noel Gallagher, same deal.
Yeah.
I think, like, ultimately, you enter into a battle with Ed and then realise he's outselling you, outshining you on every, like...
Level, yeah.
Yeah, every level.
There's
and then
no
you just
point...
Think, you know what? I'm not going to go against him and his fans.
Yeah, I look
Let
like
me
a
just
hater
pussy out.
Yeah, journalists have tried to go at Ed from the first album and have been shut down completely. Like 10-year-old girl sending you death threats. No one wants that. Do you know what I mean?
Ed, like when Gallagher went at him, Ed just got tickets for his youths to go to the show. I loved that.
That's brilliant.
Because that's like the biggest diss. I still remember last time me and you was on the show together and you talked about the diss, the forgettable wank.
It
reminded me of that. It was like
Brandon Flowers.
It was it was such short shrift. It was just like, you know what, I'm not even going to enter into this. Let me get some tickets for your kids who actually know what's going on in the music world, you old fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
superb.
What it is. It's all these kind of washed up artists, these old rock legends that Ed kind of just described as, like, you know, when your dad is just like, what's all this new music you're listening to back in my day, blah blah blah. So he's had people like Morrissey who is just a dick, basically. As a person, Morrissey is a dick.
Yeah, no
right?
question.
Going at him, Noel Gallagher.
I think we can all be safe in that.
Yeah, exactly. That's like, you know, we can make a unanimous sort of decision on that. He's a dick. And so, you know, Noel Gallagher, for all intents and purposes, is a dick. Tom Chaplin has just exposed himself as a bigger dick than that guy tattooed on his on his leg.
In fact, this tattoo represents a lot of people in the music business.
Big time.
That's the most depth that it's got to it, really.
Big time. It should now become an award. It should now be in the same sort of... yeah, do you know what I mean? You can get a Brit Award,
like
you can get
razzle.
An Ivor Novello, and you can get one of those. Whatever you'd call it. Do you know what I mean? You can get one of those.
shows.
Yeah. It's like in Hollywood, they got, was it the Razzle or the Razzie? Yeah.
I think it's Razzle.
Razzle or Razzie for like just the worst actors. And yeah, like nobody wants to collect one because it gets online like going crazy.
Exactly.
But we should have like the tattooed dick for the music business. Who's the Jizzle?
The Jizzle.
Is
yes,
that what it's called?
What,
no, the Jizzle.
That's
what this could cool. be called. The Jizzle.
Yes, the Jizzle.
Thanks, Nat.
Natalie's a genius.
She's
a lyrical
good.
Genius.
She's really good. Yeah, that's amazing. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, the Gallaghers of this world, really, to me, it's just like, when you've done your bit, just shut up. Like,
yeah.
I would just move into something completely different with all
100%,
my money. 100%. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'd go into, like, interior design or some shit. Like, no one's going to know. And I'm just milking it in the interior design world.
It's true. Like, Liam Gallagher's got the right ideas. Like, you know, obviously he's in the news now and then, but everyone knows he's been a dick from day dot.
Yeah, yeah,
from
yeah,
day
yeah.
one, he's been a dick. Even to his
to
own
be
brother.
Fair to him, he was just like, I'm coming out as a dick from the start.
Exactly.
Whereas
exactly.
Noah was like, I'm going to pretend to be the cool one for a bit.
And now he's just opened a brand called Pretty Green. He started up a brand called Pretty Green a few years ago, and that's doing quite well.
Yeah,
sort
doing
of mod,
all right. Yeah, yeah.
Mod fashion and stuff. And he's, you know, he's once in a while he'll poke his head out and say something dickish.
Yeah.
But for all
intents,
you but know,
he doesn't really talk
in,
daily
in
shit like Noah Gallagher does. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like daily shit column that nobody wants to read. In the Times on Saturday, they had a thing because it's 20 years. It was 20 years to the day since. They dropped a single on the same day, Blur and Oasis, in 1995. Blur dropped Country House, and Oasis, Roll With It.
Right.
Well done, Nat. And it was
which
talking about the battle.
One second, which one did you buy, Nat?
Country House.
Right.
Same.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I was when I was younger, I'm not going to lie to you, I was more of a Blur fan. But growing up, I realised how well Oasis actually write. The thing about Blur and Oasis is that Blur are for, you know, they're for the adventurous listener, you know. They change themselves up, they reinvent themselves. Oasis just make down the middle working class rock.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's,
this is what it is.
It's not even Marmite, it's literally, it's Bovril.
Yeah, for real.
Do you know what I mean? It's literally Bovril rock. It's they'll, you know, a lot of influences, the influences are clear, the Beatles, the Stone Roses, blah, blah, blah. But you can't really tell the influences when it comes to Blur. Do you know what I mean?
100%. But reading it just made me think about the irrelevancy of the whole argument, because Damon Albarn is still making challenging, interesting music today.
Exactly.
And Liam Gallagher's got some t-shirts and Noel Gallagher's got a
the
daily bullshit
birds.
Column.
Yeah, and the High Flying Birds.
Oh,
and
yeah,
when he does a
birds.
Set, he just plays Oasis songs.
Yeah, yeah. Here's my new band playing some old Oasis shit. Yeah. Well, there you go, guys. That's how we feel about
that's how we feel about
that
you. We're Team Ed. We're hashtag Team Ed.
100%.
And his quirky tattoos.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got a Heinz ketchup tattoo.
Really?
Of
the bottle? Or
of
just
the
a
label,
splodge.
The label, mate. He has a Heinz ketchup label tattooed on, I think, the inside of one of his biceps. He has.
Do they know that? Heinz must know that.
They will know by. They definitely know. They definitely know.
He's getting.
He
love.
Has.
He's getting love.
He
that.
Has. I can't remember that. Ben will know this. My friend Ben's joined us in the studio. Ben, what's the name of that Van Gogh painting? The sky, the clouds, and the. Oh
that's
my God,
a big
you're not
test
as cultured
for Ben,
as I
like
thought
the
you
first
were, Ben.
Question.
Get out, mate. Out,
first
out.
Question.
But he has a Van Gogh painting. Under it, he has the animated Pixar Puss in Boots. Right next to a Van Gogh, he has like the Nando's High Five logo. You know when you get a black card? You got that. It's got the High Five. He has that tattooed on him. He has a Lego head on him. So a lion on your chest, really and truly, is probably the most normal tattoo.
Yeah,
got.
I mean,
yeah,
everyone loves lions.
He's got the Starry Night.
Starry Night.
By
Jesus,
Van Gogh.
That is so fucking cultured. It's just
right,
disgusting.
Exactly. Right beneath it, Puss in Boots.
Nice. What the
one from
the
Shrek.
One from Shrek. Not even like the classic original illustrations.
Nah.
The Shrek.
The
Antonio
Shrek
Banderas.
One. Yes.
Big-eyed.
Yes.
Pussy.
Hat-wearing, boot-wearing.
Brilliant.
Sword-wielding. Cat.
That's fucking incredible.
That's what Ed has, right? So really and truly, he knows his tattoos are quirky. So there's what's the point of like trying to get all these normal tattoos? I suppose the timing was a bit weird because obviously Cecil the Lion had just been murdered, and then obviously like a couple of weeks
maybe
later,
maybe that's who it is. Though.
Maybe it was a scene.
Maybe
it was a commemorative
it's an RIP.
Tattoo. Yeah.
Maybe it's like you know these guys that get thug life across the belly.
Yeah, yeah. Or like a
maybe
a tattoo
it's
with
in
Biggie.
Remembrance of Cecil.
Yeah, we've got different strokes for different folks, yo.
You got to be careful with those tattoos where it's a picture of the person and it doesn't look exactly like the person.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, rah, I didn't know you liked Morgan Freeman that much. And you're like, bruv, that's Tupac. Why has he got a beard? That's shadow, fam. That's shadow under his chin. Ah, fuck. My brother on the really reals a few years ago, and he started getting to tats as a youngster. He's about 19.
Your brother's an MC,
19,
isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Luke Skies. He is at 19, and he got a tattoo of. He got various tattoos, but one of the big ones he got on his arm was a Martin Luther King quote.
Right.
And I'd gone round to my mum's house for a bit of a Sunday dinner, and everyone was talking in hushed tones when he was out of the room going, oh, someone's got to say something to Luke. Someone's got to. And I was like, about what? And he said, righteousness is spelt wrong on his arm. And I was like, fuck off. And none of you have said anything. They're like, oh, we don't know what to say. We don't know what to say.
I know what you say. So, you say righteousness is spelt wrong.
I was like, you can't believe none of you lot have spoken to him. So I took him into the toilet in my mum's house. So there was a big mirror.
Mm.
And I stood in front of it. And I was like, bruv, this is the deal. And he was like, no, he wasn't having it. And I was like, look, I don't want to get out of a dictionary, but I guarantee you that is spelt wrong. Here's what's going to happen, yeah? Because this is not about you, right? And it's not about me. It's about the fucking prick who did the tattoo,
exactly.
Yeah? And didn't write the quote that you gave him down properly on your arm. Here's what's going to happen. Because he was freaking out, you know, like hyperventilating and shit. I was like, okay, what's happened here is they've left the E out. It's a classic mistake between the T and the O.
Right, of course.
But the beauty part is, it's all in capitals. So the T's got a natural roof, which is going to push the O slightly further than a letter. Say if it was a capital I.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Without the tops, the O's would be closer. Yep. You'd be fucked.
Yeah.
But the T's got a natural roof.
Mm-hmm.
Let's push the O slightly closer, slightly further away. So what we're going to do, we're going to walk back in there. We're going to get him to squeeze the E in.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks good, and it takes a little bit of the roof of the T, but that's blessed. No one's going to clock that, yeah? And then he's going to give you free tats for fucking ever, for however long you're... Because you can't make that mistake.
Nah, it's
you
true. Can't,
like, bruv, that's your job.
You check, you double
it's
check.
It's permanent, you triple check.
100%.
You got the quote in front of you.
Yep.
Write the fucking quote on the man's arm. I said to him, go in there, demand tats forever.
Yeah.
What's his defense going to be?
Or you stand outside the shop every day and show people your incorrectly spelled tattoo.
Yeah,
say,
yeah, yeah.
This is his work.
Boom.
Do not trust this guy. You could put the guy out of business.
So that's how we got over it as a family.
Stayed strong. I'm so proud. So proud.
So listen, I don't know if you lot have had some tattoo nightmares, or if there's some tats that you've seen that are fucking horrendous, or if you've just made a decision, which you know you really, really. You know, that is going to, for your loved ones, it's going to be an absolute nightmare when you reveal it and you didn't expect it. Or maybe you wanted to horrify your loved ones yourself. I don't know. But hit us up with those worst mistakes, please. Please.
No swastikas.
No swastikas at Fubar Radio.
That's not a mistake. You're just a dick.
Unless you're an Indian into ancient Eastern philosophy.
You've got the original
swastika. With the little dots.
Yes, of course.
Acceptable swastikas.
Because the Nazis did appropriate that and switch it round.
AcceptableSwastikas.com.
Yes.
Hit us up. not there. At FubarRadio.com with your worst mistakes.
Yeah.
How badly have you let a life partner down or a family member, a loved one, with what you thought might have been an incredible prank? Did it backfire?
Yes.
Let us know.
In the meantime, we're going to play a tune and we'll get into some emails after.
Yeah. And we're back.
Such a fucking tune.
What a classic that is,
absolutely,
man.
Absolutely.
I feel like, I know it's an old man thing to say, but I feel like you don't get these ready-made rap superstars like you had in Meth, out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I love that RZA just saw it as well. Like, he was just like, we're
so
all
nice.
Grimy. No one's really got hits or nothing, but this guy, he's just got something.
Yeah, it's true. His voice is
ill
charisma.
Voice.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
it absolutely
was,
ridiculous.
No, good looking guy. He somehow just had it.
Yeah.
Ready made out of the box.
100%.
And that song just sort of sums it up, because who else out of the Wu could have done that within 2 years of coming out?
Exactly. And she loved so much did she
One
love
year
it that remember like years later they did Love at First Sight. And they kind of reunited on a collaboration. Mm. And then they harked back. They paid homage to the original video as well.
Yes.
A little bit. Do you know what I mean? It was a lot more, there was a lot more razzmatazz in you. And it looked strange. Like Method Man was wearing a Foot Locker uniform in that video. Do you remember the video?
True. Yeah, I do.
It looked like he'd just come out of like work and he was just like, oh, what, shooting a video? Yeah, cool. Like, I just finished my shift at Foot Locker. Been sending a few Air Force Ones. But yeah, of course I'll be in a video of you again, Mary J.
Have you seen Trainwreck, the new Amy Schumer movie?
I was going to go see that the other day.
Ezra's in it.
Ah, Ezra Miller's in that. Right. Right. I've got a quite funny story for
Really?
Later, actually, yeah.
Well, this was just a brief Method Man aside, really, in that he pops up in Trainwreck playing a doctor. I think he's a doctor.
Really?
Yeah. So obviously his agent said, hey, something a little different for you here, Meth. And he's gone in thinking, well, it's a little different. I'm playing a doctor, so I'll be African.
What, like an African accent?
Yeah.
See, this is what, I don't like it when Americans do African accents. They can't do them.
They what black Americans cannot do is anything relating to Africa or the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And this is a very simple reason. We all know what the reason is. It's slavery.
Yeah.
Right? Black people were stolen from Africa. And their entire history was basically wiped out, their cultural history.
Yeah.
You know? So you've got black Americans who have been black Americans for a fucking long time.
Of course, yeah.
Whereas a black British person, on the whole, is going to be once removed from whatever country.
Yep. My parents are
from,
very much still Nigerian.
My mum, very much Jamaican.
Yeah.
You know, that is pretty much bog standard.
No, of course.
If not, like, the person you're talking to is directly from there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So
true.
That's how we roll in Britain. Everybody is very, either once removed or they are from the country they come from. America is a country of ancient immigrants, but with black people in particular, they are black Americans. That's why it makes me laugh when they call them African Americans.
Yeah.
What's that about? They're black Americans.
Yeah.
So, long story short, Method Man is an African in Trainwreck, and it is pretty embarrassing. Even for a Caribbean gentleman such as myself, I was sat there thinking of my African descent brothers, thinking, fuck me, this is gonna hurt. Particularly for people like Justin who've got Africa and hip hop together. As huge influences, huge parts of his life, it's going to be a tough watch.
Damn, I'm quite glad I didn't get to see it then.
It's mad because it's under everybody else's radar, but there's just any cinema you go to, there'll be one or two hip hop fans in the audience who go, what? It's really painful.
Damn.
Other than that, yeah, decent movie.
Yeah, it reminds me of the is it Friday After Next? Where I'm sure it's Friday. No, it's next Friday.
Next Friday,
where they get the job in the record store, Pinky's.
That's next Friday.
Yeah, and the African guy comes in. What is this shit?
Oh,
I can't get jiggy with this shit. They always do this really sort of. There's only one sort of accent that Americans will do. When
there's only one. I had the pleasure. And this is a name drop so large that I might as well just pick up the studio desk and drop it on the floor upside down. But I was invited down to see Dave Chappelle.
Awesome.
Right? And I've been looking forward to this shit for fucking ever. My little brother is like a super fan. I'm a big fan, but my brother's a crazy fan. Like, he's seen everything. He worshipped the ground that the dude walks on. We were both very, very excited. I got a call before I was planning to go down. I was in a studio in Chingford, and I got a phone call from the promoters, Live Nation, saying, dude, are you coming to Chappelle tonight? And I was like, of course I'm coming. I'm coming. And they're like, right, do you think you could come like 3 hours early? I need you down here at like 5. And I was like, why?
This is the guy who came in 5 minutes late for his own radio show.
I know. And they said, well, Chappelle's hair is fucked up and nappy, and he needs a haircut before he gets on. And you know us, we don't know any black people other than the ones that we pay to put on stage. Can you help us out?
Yeah.
And I said, boom, I got my barber in Dalston. I'll pick him up on the way in.
Brilliant.
No problem. So I go to Dalston. I pick up my barber, Freeman. Shout out, Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, Freeman, I got a Hollywood job for you, bro.
Yeah.
You're going to cut the comedian Dave Chappelle's hair before he goes on stage, and the whole flipping world's gonna see your haircut.
Brilliant.
He's like, oh my god, I can't believe it, Doc. Oh, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. I cannot believe you've done that, David Chappelle. This is gonna change my life, Doc. I owe you so much. And I was like, Freeman, you don't know who Dave Chappelle is, do you? And he goes, no, but it sounds amazing. It sounds amazing. So I was like, all right, just be cool. We went down there, cut Chappelle's hair, and he went on stage, but we also cut his support act's hair.
Right.
And his support act, Darnell, I've seen him a couple times, but he went on stage, right, in front of an audience that was maybe 85% black, mm-hmm. British, therefore, mm-hmm. probably of that 85%, I would wager 84.5% had an African or Caribbean parent,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So he thinks it's wise to come on stage and talk about getting mugged by Africans in New York, right? Right. Which involves the accent that we've just touched upon, right?
Which we all
but
know
he
Americans
actually said,
at
the words out of his mouth, he said, I don't mind being robbed by niggas, yeah? Like, just standard niggas. But I don't want to ever get robbed by an African. Because, they're you know, he goes, two things about Africans. One, they never close their eyes. They just got, like, the bug eyes. And he starts doing the bug eye thing. And you never know, they'll come round the corner with them spears. And I was just like, wow. This
really?
Literally, this the color of this guy's skin is the only thing that's keeping him on stage yeah. right now. There was a kind of sort of weird, nervous laugh yeah. around, and there was a few Asian brothers in there like,
the heat's off us.
And it was nuts as well, because me and my brother were like, this is fucked. And then we were looking at these Asian brothers laughing, and then he went, or even worse, them Indian dudes there. And they just went silent. And then he just did the do-do-do-do-do-do-do for like 5 minutes.
Damn.
Crazy.
So basically an American like Bernard Manning or something.
Yeah, yeah. But that, like, that's where we're at. That's what I'm saying. Like, black America is very different. Chappelle, on the other hand, is a man of the world. He's a very intelligent dude who just has a way of understanding a lot of different approaches to life. I think he... From day, he's always mixed it with people of different races,
yes.
different classes. And you can tell that. And like, I had the luxury of building with him for like 2 hours, chilling with him, his wife, his kids. And, you know, his wife is Filipino. Mm. And like, you know, he lives in an area. He was telling me it's like one of two areas in the States. Mm-hmm. The other one being Austin, Texas, where like mixed race relationships kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, people are left leaning liberal.
Yeah.
Everybody's anti-guns.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of just smoke weed kind of nice. Openly. You know, so like I think he's a different cat, but yeah, man, like the easy. I suppose there's a long way of saying the easy African stereotype is utilized by a surprising number of people.
Yeah,
I think they can get away with it.
Pretty ridiculous.
Mm.
Pretty ridiculous.
Mm. So listen, all that aside, we have our special guest. I just seen him through the glass. He's
awesome.
A very very
he's a
large
big guy,
man.
Isn't he?
So impossible to ignore. Mm. And I think we're probably gonna drop another song, and then on the other side of this, we're gonna get into the legend that is the big Tom Davis. Oy, keep oy. It locked at FUBAR Radio. All right, so it was new roots maneuver. Unbelievable.
It's a big tune.
Yeah, it's good to have him back. It sounded like it had somebody. Yeah. That wasn't him singing. Surely, he's got a much deeper voice than that, Rodney. Big up Roots. Big up Roots. Yes. Holding it down still. Listen, FUBAR, we are up and running with this week's special guest, superstar in the building. Listen, I can't describe what a fan I am of this man. If you love British comedy, you would have seen him. If you've been watching Plebs, you would have seen him up in there. Davos, is it? Davos? Big
yeah,
Davos.
Yeah.
And perhaps that's a play on his surname. Most recently, you would have seen him in Murder and Successful. Welcome to the FUBAR studio, Big Tom Davis.
Good to be here, man.
How
Thank
you doing,
you for
man?
Me. Been looking forward to this for a long time.
I've been working so hard to get you on this show. You know, I wanted to bring to the table as I became one of the normal threesome that present this show, as I wanted to be the guy that could get the big celeb guests. You know, I was like, bruv, don't worry about that. I've got it all covered. Yeah, I'm gonna get Will Poulter in. I'm gonna get Jason Mazza. I'm gonna get Tom Davis. I'm gonna get People Just Do Nothing. I'm gonna get Michael Payne. I'm gonna get all these people. And,
you got me and I never left, man.
Yeah, you never left. That was, like, easy. But getting Tom is, like, tough. And I know how it is because, you know, I think probably... I think I've probably even lost out on a couple roles to you.
No way.
I'm serious. So I know how hard you work, and I know that you pretty much jump from one show to the next, which is so impressive at this level, you know, because I know you probably still have to do a lot of auditioning,
yeah,
and there's other things that maybe are thrown at you. But what I've been desperate to ask you from when I first thought of getting you on the show is, Is murdering successful? Is that your baby? Is that something that you brought to the BBC?
I've had it sort of developing. I mean, you know yourself, really. Like you sort of, I've had that for about 3 years developing it. So we sort of did Taster Takes pilots to get it right. But yeah, sort of. It's been my show. This sort of the thing. Like you, man. Me and you, I think, started out about the same time. I did rap in my act when I first started out, and then I saw you once, and I was like, drop that.
Glad you said that, because a lot of dudes had their little rap.
Oh man!
But mainly it was those middle class kind of like. Oh, and I'm going to rap about hummus.
Yeah, yeah, and it was
and then when
guys
I jumped on the scene and people were like, I'm going to not rap about hummus. Shit died.
Because it was that thing of everyone had but, you know, I come out of Croydon and sort of South London, so yeah, I was oh man, like there's not many people on the circuit like me and you who come out of where
no,
we come
very,
from.
No, very, very, very true.
Especially, there's more now, but like, you know, but I remember I did a sort of character doing it and I remember just, I saw you and someone went, oh man, there's this guy, Doc Brown, and literally going, oh, it's gone. Like, sitting almost crying on the way home. God, I'm going to really play out the idiot thing.
That's very kind. So Murdering Successful, you've been developing it for a while.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And was the concept from the start to have these celebrities playing themselves?
It was originally, I had an idea, I can't swear on it, but I had a silly so I had a thing called Big Tom Shitcom, which was essentially like a live show where people would come along and I'd be like, look, I've got a sitcom pilot and none of the actors have turned up, so I need people from the audience to come in, and then I'd just like mess it up myself and fuck about with it.
Yeah.
And then sort of people liked it, but you know, we sort of had a bit of trouble getting over the line, and then with Tiger Aspect we started sort of developing this and playing around with it. And it was always an idea. It was sort of kind of Saturday Night Live and sort of Morecambe and Wise, just a way of getting celebrities not doing panel shows.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing a different side of them. And if I'm honest, it's done a lot better than I thought.
You understand it's completely unique.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
For me to see a show like that, the more I watched it, the more I thought, you know what, I've never seen anything like this, man.
No.
Like there's various elements that I've seen before, little comedy tropes, maybe the improvisation, you know, celebrities playing themselves, all of these things separately I've seen. But the way you bring together like the sort of cheesy 80s cop pastiche, the improv, and like you're pulling performances out of Dermot O'Leary.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Deborah's one is like.
Deborah, they're all brilliant. Greg James, Deborah, they're hilarious.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That
Kimberly
was my favourite one.
Louis
so
Smith,
far.
But there's something about O'Leary. He's a fucking natural, man.
Yeah, like, he was, but like O'Leary
he's
was
so
like,
still. Which is the thing, like, you see trained actors who can't keep that still in front
but
of a camera.
It's a weird thing of that thing of, like, when we started it, I was always like, everyone wants to make a cop movie and everyone wants to sort of do Cops and Robbers. Like, essentially, like, and they all came in with their, like, Dermot came in and he had this sort of thing and he wanted to be doing, like, sort of True Detective. Louis Smith came in and he generally wanted to be in Bad Boys. Like, he literally was like, you know, and Louis, for me, was maybe. In the basis that Louis came in, I don't know if you've ever met Louis, but he's obviously PR trained and everything. But so it took him a while to break. But when he actually, that wall came down and he was like, actually, I can just do whatever I want. Yeah. This is my show. I can have some fun. It was brilliant. You know what I mean? Mm. And that was, and it's a weird thing because in the sense that improvisation's sort of, I don't know, it's a sort of a bit of a dirty word in comedy. Like people get worried about it because a lot of the time it's these middle class guys or girls who sort of come out of Cambridge or Oxford and they're sort of doing it in a way that's sort of like, oh God, so and so. And I mean, I've been at Edinburgh and watched it, but I mean, I'm a massive like Will Ferrell fan, and that sort of idea of thinking was how I wanted to come to it. I wanted to bring something that sort of raucous and not, don't be scared of sort of.
Was it a conscious decision to keep the corpse in as well? Because
we wouldn't have had a show without it.
Oh, for real? Because I mean, not you so much. There's a couple times a smirk comes on your face. But you tend to hold it down. But like Meaden's fully gone at times.
Yeah.
Greg James is gone.
Yeah.
And it's. I remember my dad showing me Pete and Dud. On the park bench of the sandwiches. You know.
Yeah.
And to try and stop corpsing, Dud's like stuffing a sandwich in his mouth. That's some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. And it's not so much the writing as the improv that Pete's doing and the corpsing that Dud's doing. And I really got that from Murder. It was so much
fun.
That
clip. My dad showed me that exactly the same thing, right? And I remember sitting watching that as a kid and not really understanding what I was watching, but laughing along.
Yeah, because it felt real.
And
it was real.
Yeah, and it is that. So that thing was we kind of generally, you know, what it's like. You corpse on set, you laugh, and sometimes you sort of think, oh man, if that was the clip we used. So when it came to the edit, we did one version of each show, like the first show, with its, like, you know, entirety without the corpse in. And one with the corpse in, people were just coming in from the BBC and everyone was like laughing along. And the first bit we showed was a bit with Jamie, when he comes in about the pigeon, and I'm in his ear, and he's doing about a pigeon and the phone. And it's like, that thing was like, literally everyone was quite, because he's got a very infectious nature. I mean, that in itself was my, you know, I'm not a surreal comic, I never have been, but that thing about the pigeon and the stone.
There's a few surreal
been.
Moments though, and sometimes I don't know if you're hearing it for the first time or whatever. Like, there's a scene with you and Greg, I can't think what episode it's in, but you're in a car and you're phoning your ex-wife and some South African guy answers. And Greg's asking him what kind of, like, he's still got stuff of yours that he wants to get rid of. And Greg says, what kind of stuff? And he says, there's a photo of a duck holding a present. And Greg's laughing. And then he asks you, what's the deal with the duck? Oh, no, it's not a photo. It's a painting. A painting of a duck holding a present. And you start going.
Yeah.
And then you start telling this story, which sounds like utter bullshit. And I couldn't work out where the duck with a present came from.
It's like that bit was, that just came out, that was like something someone had written, and we played around with it, and to be honest with you, we had to do that as we got Greg back in to do that, cause, and they didn't tell me, I knew kind of the ballpark, but it's just you know, when someone starts going, and Greg, sort of, I know Greg relatively well, and so as soon as he starts going like that, I'm just like literally holding back. I mean, you know Tom Sturton, don't you? You know Tom's Totally Tom.
Oh yeah, so from the sketch group. Yeah,
we did a scene with Kimberly where he plays my brother, and we go on a double date, and it's him and the actress and Marie Lawrence and me and Kimberly, and we basically do this thing where we go out for this double date, and it's me and him doing one-upmanship. And it was maybe the funniest thing I've ever filmed in my life, but all of us were like kids, because it was like, I'm tapping this. I'm taking this home every day and I'm ruining it.
I feel like, I mean, I overanalyze comedy all the time, and I try not to. I try just to sit back and enjoy it, but it's hard. What I normally do is I just get zooted, so I don't think about it. Because you ever get that thing where you watch comedy and you think about work?
Yeah.
Like, not even about their work. You think about, I should be doing this. I should be writing. This is good. It's on TV, but I should be doing. And you're constantly referring shit back to yourself. I hate doing that.
Yeah.
So when I watch your show, similar to when I watch People Just Do Nothing, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to get zooted and watch this and just chill
That's
out.
That's the best way of watching anything.
And
what I
really felt about your show was that the corpsing worked for me, because it was it was a hyper real situation.
Yeah.
You weren't trying to be real with it. So, like, even within a show as crazily out there as, like, Peep Show, you couldn't have corpsing, because they're trying to capture the real world, even through this high concept. Whereas with Murder and Successful, I felt like at no point are you trying to capture, like, something that's 100% real.
No, it's
therefore,
crazy.
Your disbelief's already kind of on the edge there. So I could deal with the corpse in it, and it felt perfect. It felt right.
It's a weird thing as well that people had this thing of, like, when it first started, the trailers started going, people started going, oh, is it a bit like Inside Number 9? I was like, no, that's the cleverest show.
All,
this
yeah.
is literally the most, if my stand-up was Murder and Success, it's improvising silly and stupid, and it was, I was never going out, and at the end of it, someone was going to go, you know what, actually, I'm going to vote Labour. the most silly, puerile, and you know, I've learnt my trade from you know, years of doing stuff with Lee Francis. So that was enough there for me to go, right, this has just got to be silly. And, you know, but I just wanted to make something that when I was like 16 and I was sitting around and I was getting off my nut, I'd have liked to sit and watch on a Friday night coming home. And that's, you know, but I sit and watch people just do nothing. And there's not one part of me that can watch that without going, oh, God, I wish I'd done this.
Yeah.
Because this is remarkably good. Yeah. Like, you know,
I don't think people
really
know.
Absolutely right
now. I don't think people really get it right now. I mean, I'm not saying they don't get what it is. I'm saying I don't think people understand how important it is.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. Personally, we were talking about this. Natalie's our producer. We had a meeting yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, People Just Do Nothing and things like that. And you know, going on to the subject of things being hyper real. Even though People Just Do Nothing is a mockumentary, is meant to be a piss take. Mm. It is actually technically hyper real, and it's like one of those things that you're right. You look at it and you think, shit, I wish I'd done something like that, because it's so.
But also, it's massively relevant, and I think the thing of, like, talking about earlier about with me and Doc is that, you know, My big thing is that, you know, when I was sort of, there was probably Ricky Grover and Mickey Flanagan, like, were the guys
representing
that
sort of, the working class and, you know, in stand-up
when we were coming out. And so,
pretty much
and then I remember, like, I was hardly ever on the same bill as you because they probably were never supposed to.
Because I thought about it. When I first started seeing you on TV, people would tell me you were stand-up, and I was thinking, from where? I've not gigged with him.
Yeah, but
that is the way that the circuit works. Right. Oh, we've got one.
Yeah,
go on,
break him up, break him up.
Yeah, and it's like that thing of like, so I'd never be on the same bill as Ricky or Mick or you.
Mm.
It was like that thing of them going, oh, the last, we can't have, because it's, you know, most of the time you're playing in London anyway to quite middle class audiences.
Yeah.
So it'd be like this oversaturation. Yeah. If you're coming in to talking about being brought up in a council estate, and then I come out and go, I was brought up in a council estate. Even like to the point of like, I remember at one point they wouldn't have me and Greg Davis on the same bill.
That's crazy.
Like, we can't have too many tall people.
Yeah, they're too tall. The front row's been looking up for long enough. Give him a break.
Yeah.
So here's one more question for you. We should probably get into some music after that. But D.I. Sleet's voice.
Yeah.
Is it based on anything? Where's it? How did you settle on that voice? Because sometimes just the voice alone cracks me up.
It's like genuinely Statham. Like,
it's Statham, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm a massive... I love all those films. Mm. Like, and I just... We went through so many different ways of playing it, and then I just started playing around with that voice, and literally everything. And then it was just throwing in those old American slangs, like "he's a goddamn jackass," and it just made the and the fact that I think we sort of all, although it's so stupid, if everyone plays it straight, like, you know, like the bit where like Jason Lewis is playing Obama, like he's so straight in that scene. It's a brilliant scene, but because it like literally like. Jason, like, meant to be giving me, like, an exam where he's got his finger up my ass. And Jason's corpsing so badly. He's, like, pinching the inside of my leg to the point I had a fucking welt inside because we're both trying not to laugh. And it's like... But because as soon as you sort of go, oh, we're doing something... That's what I always found with improv. It's when I used to, like, go and watch things and I'd go to, like, classes and no one wanted to be with me because, oh, I'm not going to go with this guy.
Yeah, he's
going
to spoil it.
It's this sort of middle-class poshness of it. And then you turn up and, like... You'd sort of see people do something funny and it would almost be straight away like they're going, yep, I just did that. And actually, right. the skill to it is just to, I think, never think any of it's funny. Just literally play it like you're making True Detective, but basically at the helm of it, you've got an absolute fucking buffoon.
Mm.
And that's what we were doing.
I think that's a very good technique. And I think any kids listening who want to get into it should take that on board, because if you try and be cool, or if you try and be serious and you're not that guy, it's always going to be funny, I reckon.
Yeah, I think that's just get. I had it, you know, through stand-up and through this and for everything, is the thing of just... I think as soon as you try and be cool and try and be like, this is like what I, you know, I'm the cool, you know, or try and be smart and a bit too street or whatever, what's always great is when you... That's in you anyway.
Mm.
That's never going away.
Mm.
Like where I grew up and what I've... Like where I've come from, that's not going to all of a sudden disappear and I'm going to start, like, you know, I'm going to become David Mitchell. Like, do you know what I mean? I am what I am. And so I've never, you never try and be anything else.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you can keep that to your sort of, or you're an idiot there to make, like, you're there to make people. Like, I remember seeing you at the Russell Brand gig at Wembley and you tore that. But, like,
what was
great about it, like, my missus had never really seen you, like, for, well, actually, I've got a really good friend of mine who's got a bone to pick because he got tickets to see you in Peterborough for his birthday
shit.
And you couldn't make it.
Yeah.
He's literally...
I've rescheduled.
Yes, he's going. He goes to me, I'll tell him about that. During his birthday, I'll take him out for a steak meal. But what was great about that is that you weren't coming out going, you know, I'm one of you guys. You just came out and you're there anyway. You're that.
Yeah.
You know, and you just own that crowd. And that's the beauty of when you see great stand-up and people who come out and they, you know, they haven't got anything to prove. They know how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, I guess it's in you.
Well, that's very kind. And on that note, it's not often that guests come in and praise me. let's hear our first song. What have we got? Something for my God, send me live. Thug Life!
Thug Life, baby! Yeah. That was Keep Your Head Up by Tupac. That was your choice, Tom, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I was just saying.
Lovely song.
I'd literally gone back to. Because I was in Ireland last week. And I've literally kind of like with Killer Mike, I've never really like knew too much about him. And this Irish guy in this tiny little pub in Ireland starts telling me about him. And it's like, because dad, all like, where my family come from in Ireland, it's like a really small pub, but it's quite a sort of like, you know, like rebel raisers and all that. And he's like, oh, you've got to get this guy. Have a listen to this man. He's the guy to hear. And so they had this diddly D music, like, and all of a sudden, this guy's gone behind a jump and he's stuck on Spotify. And Killer Mike and all these old people, what the hell's going on here? And but it's a weird thing of that. Yeah, I just sort of then sort of got revisiting loads of the old stuff that
I don't listen to a lot of sort of modern, so to speak, contemporary hip hop. I'm definitely more of like a, I love the 90s era, the golden era. Which for me will always be.
I wrote
the
shit a long time ago. I wrote the shit in 94.
So, what else are you listening to at the moment?
I always find that thing of, I know where Doc's the same, but I think when I'm writing, I always sort of, like, so it's defining on the project that you're doing.
Yeah.
So I've weirdly, because I'm writing a thing at the moment, which I don't know if it will go anywhere, because, you know, it's always weird to talk about these things, but about like a bit Irish bare knuckle boxer, and it's like a sort of dark comedy. So I started listening to a load of old Irish rebel songs and sort of going back to stuff that I sort of brought up on, and then Springsteen, weirdly, because I think when he's an amazing storyteller.
Totally.
And he's just, so when you sit and listen to Springsteen, and it's a really fun thing to listen to. But yeah, I think with Killer Mike, that's then led you sort of go back to the 90s and Snoop and Dre and all that sort of stuff. Snoop was the start for me.
Of course, yeah. Of course.
Was the thing, I guess, that where you, for the first time, you went independent of like what you'd maybe been brought up from your parents.
Yeah, there was an age where you thought, fuck, like, this chart shit. I'm just going to go and listen. I'm going to go and find out. I'm going to source my own music.
Exactly.
My sister was the sort of one that influenced me to that, because I've got no brothers. I've got an older sister and three younger sisters. And, you know, we'd watch, like, Top of the Pops all the time. We'd watch, like, before CD UK. I can't even remember what the music shows were. But then one day she just came back with Ready to Die, Biggie's album. Yeah. And my life just changed. Do you know what I mean?
It's exactly that thing of, like, and it's a really, I mean, it makes us feel old now, but, like, popular music wasn't rap, like,
not at
all.
So
I remember, the first time a kid from school came in with Snoop, Snoop Doggy Style, and that was the first time where you were like, what's this?
Yeah, do
you
know
what
I mean? So, like, hardcore.
Yeah, and like, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah,
I want to be a motherfucking hustler. You better ask somebody. Like, that was all of a sudden, like that was the music of our youth, like, because Snoop was never going to be on Top of the Pops. Like, now everyone. You speak to kids about it and they're like, yeah, Snoop. And you think, like, hardly. And I remember, like, because, do you remember, like, I remember at school, I sort of went to school. Like, I basically, like, got thrown out of the school I was in, spelled, and I went to a sort of school a bit further out and sort of, like, Banstead, and which is quite a posh area where Walliams is from, weirdly.
Right.
And I used to turn up, do you remember Dreddy and Carcana?
Yeah, of course.
And I used to turn up in all these clothes.
Amazing.
And I was so into it, and I remember just sort of, like, walking around, just giving it to Jackie Large.
You know what
I mean? You sort of, you'd have this sort of bowl about you.
Into
that sort of.
Of course,
bowl.
Yeah, bowling was, it was part of street culture, fully. Yeah. Like, now it's, like, caricatured so much, but back then, you bowled seriously.
You had to bowl.
Like, you had to bowl.
And if you weren't dressed in a Ben Sherman shirt and Levi's, and you were wearing Dreddy and Carcana and Blue Bolt, you had to bowl in them, you know what I mean? Because you were going against
this
the norm.
This is why I'm wearing this shit,
what
do you know
I'm
what
doing,
mean?
Yeah?
This is who the fuck I am, yo. Honestly, yeah, Dreddy, Spliffy, Carcana, and then, like, later on, Chippy. Do you remember NAFCO 54?
Oh, mate. There was a rap we used to do, it standing on the corner looking mean in my NAFCO jacket and my gravity jeans.
Yes!
It was just like gravity jeans, man. That
Tom Davis, comedian, certified bad man. That should be on your business card. You know what I mean?
But this is what this is when I watch. I think the genius of people that just do nothing is that, like, I sometimes think if, like, me and Doc had walked, when we were starting out, we walked into the BBC and gone, we're going to do a show about where we've grown up.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have got it. I think now that they're open to it, and it's such a great thing.
Yeah, and it's such a huge part of culture and also fashion as well. I think part of the reason that People Just Do Nothing is so successful but still cult right now is because you've got the resurgence of grime, for instance.
Yeah.
And obviously People Just Do Nothing predates the resurgence of grime.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like you always get a kind of feeling, and even like the way they dress has seeped into fashion as well, you know? Like, people have gone back to, like, the sports caps rather than wearing the, like, you know, fitted caps. raps and stuff, you know. People are, you know, back to wearing tracksuits and shit. You know, Skepta's rapping about sitting in a you know, going to like fashion week in a black tracksuit, and he really does that type of shit. So people are like, yeah, we can just dress like with in tracksuits now. We can just be ourselves. We don't have to wear fucking, like, you know, designer wear, like Italian haute couture fashion brands and all
that
shit.
Trust me, daddy.
It's all gone back to, all gone back to the streets. And
I have a joke with people that, like, I never change my look. I've been wearing Nike Airs and like the same cut, because I could never wear skinny jeans. That wasn't going to happen. I look like an ostrich. Like a big bird coming down the street. So I've worn the same, pretty much the same look.
Yeah.
I went with your caps, but the trucker caps is that's coming back.
Yeah.
And but that's the
and I'm, it's I'm, do I'm, it's do what I think, you know, it's do what you're comfortable you know. Yeah. It's that there are some people who sort of follow fashion trends, and there are some people who are just naturally stylish, you know, and they have their own sense of style and they don't need to follow fashion trends. And but then the fact of the matter is, sportswear, that sort of chav chic, is now an actual trend now, and a lot of chavs must be sitting there thinking, fuck.
Yeah, people have just come back to, but I also had that thing growing up that you're a big boy. I mean, I had that thing where, like, people used to go, man, I really admire you wearing something different like that. And I was like, this is the only shit that I can get that fits me. Like, when we, like,
this isn't fashion, it's function.
It's like, literally, even like now it seems like you can go anywhere and get, like, longer jeans and whatever.
Yeah.
But I was wearing ankle swingers long before they
became fashion.
Yeah, mate. Honestly. My look at school was very, like, 2014. In 1992, I had a granny kicked out of me.
We're going to go into some questions from our listeners now. First one is, when will series 2 of Murder and Successful be on my screens? So you can answer that one first, and then we'll go into the second part of that question.
Well, we're not sure at the moment. I mean, hopefully next year, beginning of next year. We're just waiting for confirmation. There's been big changes at the BBC, so
Has it been shot yet, or are you?
To be honest with you, we sort of shoot it almost just before it goes out.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, we're, like I say, we're just with BBC Three change, we're just waiting to sort of get things sorted. But hopefully we're going to next year.
And that leads us perfectly into the next part of the question. Doc and Michael, would you consider taking part? Great show today, by the way, by Toby and Kent. I'd love to take part personally, but you get such big celebrities that I'd go.
It would
be like,
weird
the
for
fuck
us,
is this guy?
I think.
Can you do any impressions?
Can you do any impressions?
Nobody that I look like. That's the thing. You know, like I can. If I had to, I could do Partridge at a push. At a push, if I was forced, you know, I could. Possibly, you know, just curl up my lips and get in there and frankly give it some serious Partridge shit if I bloody had to. But look, nothing like him.
Can't we just make you Clarkson? Just give you that voice.
Clarkson. That'd be quite funny.
That would be the pool of all pools if we got like.
There's something about. There is something funny about impressions where the dude looks nothing like the guy.
Funny.
So you never know.
We could get away with that in our universe. What about you? Can you do any impressions?
Short answer is no.
Done.
No. So that's from Toby and Ken. The next email we've got is from Lizzie in Clapham. Will we see a rap duo formed today at 5 to 6? The Payne Brown connection.
That sounds painful.
No, we leave it. I leave it. I like to leave it to Doc. You know, I'm only filling in on this show.
I suppose it will have to happen at some point.
At one point, at one point. Maybe we'll do a special, a Christmas special. So that gives me like 4 months to prepare. that's the nearest holiday I can think of. Maybe a summer 2016 special, if you're lucky. Also, we got Emma in London says, afternoon, apart from the ones you've mentioned, who is the biggest dick you've worked with in the music biz? And you're not allowed to say Dappy.
Who's this for?
Loving the show. That's from Emma in London. That's
for everybody.
Yeah, Tom, you can start.
I've not worked in the music
business. Let's just call it showbiz.
Yeah, we'll change a few. Showbiz.
Carl, I've got... I don't know.
People always want to know this, don't they? They always want to know this question.
And you know yourself, it's so negative. You say who isn't a dick.
Yeah.
Is the list short?
You know what? I think there's so many good
people. Who's surprisingly not a dick? That's a good question.
You know, when I worked with Williams, I was like really worried. And he was lovely.
Yeah, so was I. He was nice.
And he was such a sweet man. But I was genuinely... I was in awe of him. I was a massive Little Britain fan, but he was an absolute gentleman. And you know what? He is an amazing, like, pusher of new talent. He's really up for getting... I don't know, man. I guess with me, I just always I'm probably always like so stupid and pissing about that I never. I think I've always been more sort of shocked about people who are sort of really like down to earth or lovely.
Yeah,
I've just done Ben Wheatley's film and it's like Armie Hammer and people like that and Cillian Murphy.
Was Armie Hammer in the film?
Yeah, man.
That is the best name.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
Of all thespians and ever, the man from Uncle. Armie Hammer has to be the best name ever, right?
And what I get,
the fuck, like, Armie Hammer?
I mean, I won't tell you too much, I'll talk to you after, but he's like, you're the Lone Ranger, like, and he's like the most down-to-earth man you'd ever meet in your life. We were playing, I broke my ankle playing ping pong, which is the most embarrassing thing. I was moving house on the Friday and I was playing ping pong, and I was playing, so I was, my cowboy's, cowboy, my character's a cowboy, so I'm playing against them in, like, cowboy boots, and the next day I'm moving, so my ankle went beneath me. And then this guy comes up to help me move, and he just put up my light. So he's come walking, and he goes, big lad, we're going to move the fridge freezer. You're not coming in to give us a hand? I said, I can't, I'm not allowed to lift anything. I've done my ankle. And he said, what did you do? I said, I was playing ping pong. And he just looked at me in absolute disgust and went, what? I went, I was wearing cowboy boots at the time, so. And he was like, and then I had about an hour long discussion. I'm an actor, and I was just getting more and more camp as it went. But I'm always more surprised about the people. You know, there's a couple, like, David Jason wasn't quite as much fun as I thought we would be.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
I've got a great story. He's not, so my dad's essentially Del Boy.
The real and, Del Boy.
So my dad's like, I'm doing open all hours. Oh, come down and but don't act up. Just you know. And my dad's sort of going, oh, I can't wait to meet Del Boy. I said, well yeah, he's not Del Boy. He's David Jason, all right? Just chill out. And so he comes down. And my dad's had a couple of beers, and we're in the green room after. And David Jason walks in, and I went just. And as he walks in, my dad went, oi, oi, here he is. Hello, boy. Hello, boy. And David Jason's like, oh,
hello.
Hi. how you doing, mate? You all right? I just want to say a quick thing. Sorry about Trigger. And well, Dad doesn't know actors' names.
Wow. Yeah, right? He just calls them by their actual.
And he's like, you know, yeah, gutted about him. And, oh, yes, no, it's terrible. Yeah, you know, it's really, really bad. He said, you still get up Peckham much? You still. And he's like this general chat like it's a bloke he knows down the pub. And then David Jason was thrown so much by
it. Wait, see that Boise, yeah? I don't trust him, man.
Yeah, no,
I don't
trust him.
Seriously. I don't think he's got your back.
I see Boise down Canvey Island a couple of weeks ago. He's in the theatre now.
That's amazing.
And then David Jason sort of walked off and he went, well, he's a bit of a prick, isn't he? but yeah, I mean, I've got an alright with him. But I guess the hard thing there is you're waiting to meet Del Boy or.
Yeah.
And he's not that.
Yeah.
Funnily enough, with me, to answer that question from my perspective, it wasn't even a male, because you know, obviously, if someone says who's the biggest dick, you'd kind of associate it with
the
male.
Man.
With mine was a female. I really didn't take to. I supported Iggy Azalea at Fabric for Hewlett Packard. Yeah.
I don't like any facts.
Every
name detail
that I've just mentioned in that sentence is just like, what, me? But I just thought she was a bitch.
Wow.
I really didn't like her.
We did I did a thing with Original Kicks and Robbie Beckett and like a sort of Friday night sort of trying to be TFI thing, and she was on that and she didn't talk to anyone. And but still and we're on and they were lovely
but still were lovely guys, yeah.
And she's
a bitch.
Yeah.
I genuinely dislike the girl. I hope she finds no more success in her music career and goes back to Australia and I just really hate her.
Trying to go back to Australia.
Why don't you just fuck off back to us?
And no one there wants her. Get out of here.
Like,
everybody thought that you were fucking American. You never stood up for us.
16 in the middle of Miami.
Fucking cunt.
that's my one. I'd choose Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, 100%. Man, you've beaten me there.
Fair play. I fool.
Go on.
Jesus. You know, actually, I did actually work with Trigger, and he wasn't the easiest. But it sounds bad to say it now that he's dead. Do you know what I mean? But he, if you can believe this, I mean, I'm shooting scenes one-on-one with him, interrogating him for Law and Order.
Yeah.
And he's got an earpiece in one ear, it's kind of, I almost have to rate him through it because I'm a big football fan as well. He's listening to fucking Spurs. I'm serious.
But if, he's a Tottenham fan, isn't he? I forgot that. Yeah.
Tottenham fan as well. I do hate Spurs as well. It was a bit. It's quite funny that, isn't it? Because you're Arsenal, you're West Ham, right? I'm Palace.
And we all hate Tottenham.
What unites us?
We all hate Tottenham.
The hatred of Spurs.
We hate Tottenham.
I find the people who that were you the open mics when I started out actually.
Oh yeah.
Or the people had a relative bit of success when you were starting.
Yeah, they get overexcited.
Yeah.
They don't have to behave.
And you go to, I mean, you must say the music as well, but you go and do like the first sort of, I remember doing first times doing Glee or like some sort of half, like a decent gig, and there'd be that sort of middle of the road comic going, you've probably got another 4 or 5 years before you get a paid gig. I really probably wouldn't stick with it. And that sort of
it's
thing.
Mad, isn't it?
And you're already there standing there
projecting
like
their bullshit.
Yeah.
Projecting their bullshit onto you. I think that's the worst thing about comics.
And you have that thing of going, I always have that thing of people going, but you know, the thing I guess for sort of people like, you know, like Doc or Romesh or yourself or Joe, like you've all got a niche and you're like, no, we'll work hard.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? I don't sit around bitching about anyone.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, obviously, I mean, you can cheat. You know, you've got the raps, so...
Yeah, try writing one, pal.
Bro.
try writing a rap and try rapping.
The thing is, when you write, like, actual jokes, what happens is, you know, it's a process. And I'm sitting there thinking, I've got raps, right? In a 15-minute set, I might do 3 raps. They're a minute long each, which leaves me 12 minutes of actual jokes, right? And in each one of those minutes, I got a joke every bar. For a minute.
That is not genuinely the most...
That's a shitload of jokes, bro.
I did a thing where I did a rap character and, like... Try writing a rap. Decently.
If you think it's that
without
easy,
just going, it'd be the middle class going like, oh, I hate onions, but I like eggs. You know what I mean? Try doing one, and then try adding jokes.
Yeah.
And then try having enough charisma to pull it off. And then come back to me, you prick. You know what I mean? Like, I find that the sort of, that's the thing of like, where people go, oh yeah, the thing is, it's that thing where you cheat with this or that, and you're like, it's none of it is.
No,
it's all
cheating.
Work.
Talent.
Yeah.
That's the niche that I belong in with a load of other people that you don't actually belong in. That's why it's a niche to you, because you can't fit in this gap
and
that
people,
we're in.
That thing of you see them after a gig all sitting around and bitch about anyone who'd done well. Oh yeah, but it wasn't really the room for me. And you're like, what? Like,
because you're shit.
I'm 6'7".
The thing is with that high ceiling, you know, the a lot of the laughter just sort of rises up and evaporates.
Yeah, it's. I remember probably the biggest dick. Maybe this guy called Terry Fromat that when I was gigging, and he literally, it's, you know, I remember like when you started out, and it's the same with musicians, comedians, whatever, like, and he literally, I think we did our first gig together, and then about 2 years later, I'd done a show on Six Music, I'd sort of done all right, and I remember gigging with him, and he did the same 10 minutes, and he went, I mean, you've been really lucky. And I was like, I've written shit tons. I tried rap, it didn't really work, so I did this and I did that. Yeah. And you're still doing the same 10, and that's not
you're
a good
still
10 minutes,
doing the
kid.
Same 10,
yeah,
the
it's
same
a 10
shit 10 from like 5 years
that's
ago.
It's a 10 minutes where the whole joke was so I'm in Italy. And I get one plate of pasta, I get another plate of pasta, I get another plate of pasta. I'm like, I can't eat anymore. And the woman turned around and goes, hey, that's just starter. And that was his joke. That was his killer line at the end.
Really? Like,
yeah, that was
that
his big thing.
Serious,
that was it. Yeah. And he used to introduce himself on stage by going, give me a tea. Give me an E. And you'd like, oh, well, that's 6 minutes of your gig. It's a long name, Terry, from it. So I'll go Terry Fromit, not that anyone has ever heard of him or ever will. He's probably the most publicity he's ever had.
I'm gonna Google him.
Those guys do inspire you in a weird way though.
Yeah.
Like whackness inspires me.
Yeah. But not knowing that you're that bad.
Like, yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah. Because like for me, even now, like when, you know, doing murder or whatever I do, I'm always constantly, you know. It's a big thing if you're working class. We all know that anyway, you're worried about failure. That's always the first thing, because you do not want to be the geezer going back to the flats and everyone going, oh, what about when you try comedy? I think, well, what about that rap you did?
Oh, shit. It's so true.
But then you've got to get over that, and then you've got to just try it and go, right, I want to do this. I want to really own it. And the thing I always think is, like, when you see those guys and you go, like, oh, my life, like, how's no one come up to you and gone, that joke about the pasta, son, It's not a joke. It's,
well, that thing you said about the pasta. Yeah. You can't even call it a joke. You're doing yourself an injustice.
That was a talk.
That,
a joke. That was a talk.
That little
you're
description
doing a talk.
You
that's
did
a
of your meal.
Trip advisor.
So listen, Tom, have we got some more? We got some more tunes from your misguided youth that we can drop on the listeners.
Oh yeah, this is Rat King.
Rat King. Tell us a bit about it.
Rat King. So basically, I was with Scrooby's Pip earlier, and I had like literally through these for him years ago. So they're cool, man. They're a little nice little group. They're fucking they're fun, and they're kind of have a listen. I like them. You know them, don't you?
I know a bit about them. It's just for the listeners. I got to play a dummy. Yeah. So let's do it.
Play it dumb.
Big tune, that. What was that called, Tom?
That is Don't Give a Shit, isn't it?
It's, Rat King.
Rat Kings. Yeah.
Yeah. Soon it's time for.
Are you taking a piss?
And that's the weekly segment on this show where you basically just tell us anything, absolutely anything. People have blamed stuff on some like weird reasons, but we don't care. Tell us anything, absolutely anything that's taking the piss out of your very existence this week. Email us at tuesdaydrive@foobarradio.com or tweet to us at foobarradio. Just let us know anything or anyone that has been taking the piss out of your existence, all right? But Tom,
yo,
we just played some rap songs, some hippity hop. What do you know? Obviously, there's an accent barrier, isn't there?
Yeah.
Sometimes you know Americans have got that really cool slur on their accent. Sometimes, and it can be hard to distinguish between a really stupid comment and an even stupider comment, because Americans are just famous for saying really stupid things. And sometimes it's just stupid, sometimes it's really stupid, sometimes it sounds like they've said something they haven't actually said. We're going to play you a few excerpts from 8 songs, right? And in each of these lyrics, it just sounds like they're saying something completely weird that they're not actually saying, but we're going to ask you what you think they're saying, and then we're going to sort of give you the answers. All right, so the first up is
should we not start with an old favorite from last time?
This is a sequel,
right?
Because a couple of weeks ago, the last time I joined Doc on this show, we were doing the same thing, but it was more R&B based.
Yeah,
and here's our favorite one from the last one. It's by Justin Timberlake. Listen to this.
Hey, that shit never gets old.
That is never. You know, like that weird thing, because you tipped me to this, and then as soon as you were waiting for it, it's brilliant.
It's very good.
I saw him at V.
Did he have an owl on stage?
Vigorously fingering it. Even for an owl, it had messy eyes.
For the real JT fans, though, he should have just had it there on a perch and never referenced it. Do you know what I mean? But the ones who know.
I'd just like to see him, big owl, just sitting behind him and just winking on that line. For some reason, I keep thinking an owl would sound like Stephen Fry.
So what he actually says is, I figured it out, right? And it's funny because we're going to get on to an excerpt from a Jimmy Kimmel show featuring Suge Knight later on in the show, aren't we? And the thing is, right, so I was reading this article, and when you're in journalism, or just in writing in general, people will, instead of saying they blamed or they identified someone, they'll go, they fingered someone for, and I'm just like, don't use that word, especially if you're saying they fingered someone for a crime. I'm like, because that's just the weirdest punishment I can think of, and some people might actually just even enjoy that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I love the thought of being in court and going, for the murder of Tony Smith, we will be giving you a good hard finger.
Or it's like if the judge says you've been fingered for this crime, then you'd be like, what the fuck am I in court for then? I've already been punished, mate.
I haven't been fingered by anyone. I'll have you bloody know. You will be, son. Once you're in the big house.
So the first one of the since this is a rap based show, and since you've picked some of your favourite rap songs, this week we're gonna show you, play you some excerpts from rap songs only, right?
Yeah.
And the first one is 99 Problems by Jay-Z.
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know.
Alright, so you know what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah.
But do you know what it sounds like he's saying?
No, go on.
We'll play it again one more time.
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I don't know.
Does it not sound like he's saying, do I look like a margarita, sir?
I don't know.
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a margarita, sir? I don't know.
Go on, hit me again at me.
Go on.
Cause I'm young and I'm black and my hat's real low. Do I look like a mind reader, sir? I
don't know.
Cause I'm sitting in a glass and I'm drunk real slow. Do I look like a margarita, sir? I don't know.
You clearly don't. You clearly never tasted the cocktail, have you? Young and black. No, no. Thinking of a half a Guinness.
I'm having trouble walking in with Jay-Z in handcuffs. What have we arrested him for, son? For looking like a margarita.
Impersonating a cocktail.
Impersonating a cocktail on a Friday night.
So we've got another one featuring Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z. This is from Big Pimpin' featuring UGK. Let's play the excerpt. Well, to me personally, I'm not gonna lie, it sounds like he's saying exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
But the misheard lyric, do you know what we've got the misheard lyric as?
Is it obviously the last bit, yeah?
It is, it's the penultimate word.
Yeah, go on, go on again.
Right, maybe it's not the penultimate word actually.
It's beer. It's something about beer.
Nah. Well, yeah. Actually, that's what I would have gone if I'd misheard it. But it's actually, you know, it's actually spreading cheese. Big pimpin' spreading cheese.
Oh, cheese.
But personally, I think that just sounds like spending.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I think I'm cultivated enough to listen to it as it is. But your reading between the lines is brilliant because I wouldn't have heard the finger in an owl thing. And now I'll never be out of this, and it's one of my favourite songs.
So the next one's an excerpt from Monster by Eminem featuring Rihanna.
I'm friends with the monster, the son of my bed.
That's a good one, actually. That really does sound like, what is she talking about?
Pretty good. I want to get one of these.
The monster, the son of my bed.
Just say what you hear, no matter how ridiculous it sounds.
To me, it sounds like it's meant to be. I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed.
Right, fair play. To me,
I'm not terrible.
To me, it sounds like I'm friends with the monster, the son of my bed.
Friends with the monster, the son of my bed.
During puberty, when I used to dry hump my bed,
and you create,
and
you
impregnated
created
my bed, and then my bed had a son.
Yeah,
that's the scenario that gets conjured up in my head.
A little mixed race IKEA number, half Nigerian, half Swedish, little bed just popped out. That's amazing.
That's great. That one.
That's a good one. Next one is an excerpt from New York by Alicia Keys, by Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
This one's really good. Go on, play this again. This is
Say what you hear.
Say what you hear. I'm generally like, I'm struggling. I just like it when you tell me them anyway, but it's like you've literally ruined three songs now.
This is gonna be more, mate. It's gonna get worse. Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
Is that what you're going?
Drink tomato.
Wet dream tomato. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
Wet dream tomato.
Just like a word association. I'm just going to say some random words. Concrete jungle, wet dream tomato.
I just love the idea of like sitting there going through the song. And so then I was like, concrete jungle, wet dream tomato. What? I'll make it sound like something else.
I'm just literally dying here.
That's brilliant.
Next one, we've got Lil Wayne. Sorry. I can't even talk. An excerpt from We Be Steady Mobbing by Lil Wayne. I'm at your face like Lancome.
Yeah.
That's that one's it. I think he actually says that.
I'm at your face like man cum. I'm at your
face like lamb cum. Yes, exactly. That's exactly. What does he actually say?
He says, I'm at your face like lamb cum, the product.
Oh, right. Yeah, know. You know the what are they called? The, not pharmaceuticals, cosmetics brand, Lancome.
I love the fact that would be his sort of like, that's like the most sort of homoerotic threat ever. Yeah? Yeah, pal? I'll be all over your face like man cum, mate. I'll literally be all over you like man cum at a bukkake party.
That was a big thing in the 90s, though, I swear. Like, rappers had a thing where they, like, I'll fuck you in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of that kind of stuff.
Biggie was guilty of it quite a while.
Biggie had it.
Like, what is it? Oh, you look so good, I'll suck your daddy's dick.
Yeah, that's based on a Richard Pryor joke, and yeah. I think it doesn't really work well out of context.
Being
you know
a
mean?
Gangster rapper.
But there's another brilliant Biggie moment where...
Is
what's
it
the song we had?
Somebody kills
no,
you.
No, there's some on that. As,
yeah.
There's a song with R. Kelly off of the second
fucking
album.
Fucking You Tonight.
Is it fucking yeah? Fucking You Tonight. Listen to the very end, right? And R. Kelly does all the ad libs, and then his last one before the song fades out, he goes, "B.I.G., bring that ass to me."
Yes. Yes.
Tell me if that you're shit isn't right. A pause moment of '97.
You're absolutely.
That
right.
Would be a lovely thing in the rap if there were, it was actually a bit more romantic. Like, I'm going to kiss you on the lips and
it
make you smash food and then fuck you in the ass.
Bring that ass to me. It's just Marcellus Wallace running through my brain. You know. The other one is on Second Round Knockout, the famous cannabis diss to LL Cool J, where he says. You might have the skill. Let me get it straight. You might have more cash than me, but you ain't got the skill to eat a nigga ass like me.
Whoa.
Okay. Hey, bro. If you say so.
Sweet man. No.
LL Cool J was like, you know what? You killed me on everything, including that.
Yeah.
Including that.
Salad, I'm
you
good
definitely
at.
Toss a man salad
so good
way
at
better.
Everyone
than
I know says you're a treat to have pecking at their ass.
I'm gonna let you have that one. Next up, we got David Guetta featuring Nicki Minaj, Turn Me On. Don't let me die young. I just want
you to father my young.
What do you think she's saying?
Don't get me wrong, I just want you to father my son.
Yeah. Don't let me die young. That's what she's actually saying. I just want you to father my young. But what does this sound like she's saying?
The last one, right? I in a million years would never think that Wet Dream Tomato would be something that we'd be discussing about a rap track.
That's what I'm saying. No matter how ridiculous it is, just you remember what was the name of that guy that used to host Catchphrase? Roy
Walker.
Roy Walker. You know what he said? Say what you see. Say what you see. Dude, just say the first
right,
thing
play
you
play this
hear.
Again, please. Don't let me die young. I just want you to father my young. See, I'm really terrible. I'm literally listening to the words.
Yeah, yeah, because you know them so well that you're hearing, I just want you to fart on my young.
Fart on my young. Fart on my young. like she's the subject of a David Attenborough documentary, bro. not even fart on my children.
I know, my young.
when you see Minaj in her natural habitat, look at her young.
Look at
her young, attracting anacondas in the wild.
And David Guetta farting on her young. What I love about it is it's like Ian McKellen's written that rap. And then he must fart upon her young.
And the circle of life is complete.
we've got two more. The next one's by Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock, It Takes Two. I won't get square bulletproof vest. Don't smoke Buddha, can't stand sex, yes. See, the thing is, because I know
sex.
That well, yes, that's the one. There you go. There you go. And obviously the real lyric is don't smoke Buddha, can't stand cess.
Yeah.
Like,
it's known,
I think he's an idiot.
Because it's known to give a brother brain damage. And brain damage on the mic can't manage nothing.
It's like a sort of like really Christian sort of rap.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs and don't like
not
sex.
Out of wedlock. None of that. Chief Keef, this is a good one. This is from I Don't Like by Chief Keef. I fought, nigga. That's that shit I don't like. That's an obvious one.
Yeah, I fart.
A fart, nigga. I don't like it.
Yeah, when you do one of those ones that just surprises you, do you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's that shit I don't like.
He'd obviously just come out of a session with Nicki Minaj as well. She's like, yeah, I just want you to fart me. And he's like, a fart, nigga. That's the shit I don't like. The real lyric, obviously, being a fuck, nigga. That's the shit I don't like.
Oh, a fuck, nigga.
Yeah. A lot cleaner.
Charming.
Yeah. So just to recap, Jay-Z, we had Jay-Z 99 Problems, the misheard lyric being, do I look like a margarita, sir? Mm. The real lyric being, do I look like a mind reader, sir? Jay-Z Big Pimpin, misheard lyric being Big Pimpin spreading cheese. The real lyric being Big Pimpin spending cheese. Equally as stupid, really. Because where, in what country do you accept cheese as a currency? Number three, misheard lyric being Eminem, Rihanna, Monster. I'm friends with the monster, the son of my bed. Real lyric being, I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Alicia Keys, New York. Misheard lyric being Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream Tomato.
That's my favourite. That's
the real lyric being Concrete Jungle, what dreams are made of, isn't it? Or something like that?
Where dreams are made of.
Where dreams are made of. I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense.
But my sister said, I had this argument with my sister, because I always heard Concrete Jungle, Where Dreams Are Made Of.
Yeah, which, exactly.
Which is grammatically completely wrong. I spoke to my sister about it. She said, it's Concrete Jungle, Where Dreams Are Made Up.
Oh,
now,
I've
listened to it a long time. It doesn't sound like up to me.
That doesn't make sense.
Makes more sense.
Yeah, but
it makes sense, but
be...
you don't associate with New York with people just making up their dreams. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
This is a city of liars. But weirdly, actually, does sound better if you
it's better that way.
Yeah, when dreams are made up.
And Americans do say, oh, you're all made up. You're all made up. Like whenever they're so.
That's true.
Maybe.
Yeah, your sister's actually got a point.
I think it's better if it is about the wet dream tomato, though.
Yeah, I know. No question. There's a list of words. Concrete Jungle, Wet Dream Tomato. Boom.
100%.
Like it's a challenge, a new challenge on crossword, you know?
So Alicia Keys, that's what happened then.
So then after that, we had Lil Wayne, We Be Steady Mobbing. The misheard lyric being, I'm at your face like man cum. The genuine lyric being, I'm at your face like Lancome, which is obviously a popular cosmetics brand. David Guetta featuring Nicki Minaj, Turn Me On. The misheard lyric being, don't let me die young. I just want you to fart on my young.
That's my favourite.
Yeah, mine too. The real lyric being, don't let me die young, I just want you to father my young. Then we had Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rocket Takes Two. The misheard lyric being, don't smoke Buddha, can't stand sex. The real lyric being, don't smoke Buddha, can't stand cess, which is obviously marijuana. Chief Keef we had lastly with I Don't Like, and the misheard lyric being, a fart, nigga, that's that shit I don't like. Which really and truly is true, you know. It would have been an outlandish thing to say. Yeah. You know, no one's going to go on the track going, a fart nigger, that's the shit I do like. Yeah? And the real lyric being, a fuck nigger, that's that shit I don't like. A fuck nigger being basically just a bitch, someone who probably gets raped in jail.
Or fingered in jail.
Or fingered in jail. Fingered for a crime.
Hey, it's been so entertaining having Big Tom Davis in the studio. I don't even know if we're... Are we going to have time to get the... taking the pisses in the studio? Have we got a few?
Should we get them really
people
quickly?
Are so good. Look, they've already got a few in.
Okay, so going to a wedding at the weekend.
No, let's have a look.
Gone in all...
Well, what's up? Someone has to leave the studio for a bit.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should go and let Baz come in and read them.
Yeah?
What do you reckon?
Yeah,
all right, we'll bring Baz in.
All right.
Dan in London, says, going to a wedding at a weekend. I've gone all in. I've gone all in with some fucking top kitchen implements from John Lewis, right? Only to be informed the bride and groom want money instead. Are you taking a piss?
Are you taking a piss?
I feel for you, Dan. Do you feel for Dan in that situation? Yeah,
the thing is, I grew up in a Nigerian family and you didn't take toasters to weddings. No. Like, you just gave them money. Like, yeah. You know, there's a very sort of...
Italian. I've been to Italian and Greek weddings where it's just money.
Stick money on their heads and stuff. So, sorry, mate, Dan. I can't relate.
Greek weddings, some Italian one I went, they pinned the money to the dress. Yeah. It's
what
quite
you need
open.
To do, Dan, Greece. Is diversify, mate. You need some more black friends or Greek friends.
Maybe that's what it is, Dan.
That's what it is.
Dan, if you're black, we apologise. Who else have we got, Baz? We got Ben Embarking, who says, turned up on five-a-side last night, right? Outside, sun shining, perfect night for footy. 5 minutes in, ball goes in the road, gets run over, ref / organiser tells us that it's the only ball. Are you taking a piss?
Are you taking a piss?
Men in Barking. Man. Well, sounds like really intriguing that he's in Scandinavia. Sun shining at night.
Sun shining at night.
It was quite rainy last night, wasn't it?
Bullshit.
Yeah.
I reckon Ben's full of shit.
I think Ben's a liar.
Also, what's a ref / organiser?
Yeah, when has it ever been called that? And also, what kind of bloke's organising a 5-a-side game and just everyone turns out and goes, I'll be ref? Yeah. You've surely got to be a team captain. Unless you...
And also take some responsibility. Like when I play, like, a few of the boys will bring a ball of their own just so we can have a kick around before anyone else arrives.
Yeah,
Ben, you're a dropout, mate, if you're just turning around expecting everyone else to wipe your ass for you.
So there you go. That's unanimous in the studio. Sorry, Ben, you're taking the piss out of your own life. Adam in Camden says, I'll just stop using eye contacts, and I know I definitely put it on my eyeball this morning, but my eye's now in agony. It's in agony, my eye, and I think it's somewhere in my body. Eye contacts take the piss.
Are you taking the piss?
No, this is a situation that I can relate to as a contact wearer. Occasionally shit happens, you know, sudden change in the weather, the wind, you might get rain in your eye, could be walking under a waterfall, or you could be crying. Right, and your contact does weird things. It can roll into the back of your head. It's a terrifying moment. Is that the fault of the manufacturer, or should Adam just wear glasses? I mean, you always wear. I've never always seen you in contacts.
I don't do contacts.
You must have to wear contacts for.
You know what? I'd rather
shows
go
and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I'd literally just go bare eyed, man.
Yeah.
But what about a scene? What about a scene where you're at one end of like a 100-meter track? And Usain Bolt, you know, successful series 2 is at the other end.
Yeah.
How are you getting, like, how are you feeding off of him? When all you can see is just, like,
I think
a Jamaica kit.
Telepathy. I'd rather take my whole mind to a more spiritual place.
Interesting.
Than have to put something in my eye.
I can't do it.
I can't literally.
My sentiments exactly.
I had to do it when we did a Morgana show. They insisted that I did it, and it was agony.
Wow.
And I literally, if you want to see a big man cry. Mm. And I don't think big people can wear contacts.
What if you're like a large man?
Yeah,
you know what
I'm saying? Yeah.
Things I speak from experience. I try contacts once, maybe for a week, and you know when you wake up, you get this, you know, the sleep in your.
Oh, dude, I hated it at first.
I had liters of this shit in the corner of my eye.
I know, because you're talking about three people and that. By the way, there's nobody in this fucking room with 20/20 vision.
That's a good point. Yeah, even Ben.
So it's a very serious conversation.
Nat's become like someone like who's sitting in Jeremy Kyle like. Just nodding
yeah, just
going,
very
yeah,
studious.
Man,
yes, I feel your
exactly,
pain. Yes,
I know so much about this.
Can I ask though? He's Adam. Says I call them eye contacts. Do you ever call them eye contacts?
I've never called them eye contacts.
Contact lenses.
Contact lenses. I think most people call
or just lenses.
Eye contacts. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know where he's coming from. All I can think of is that he's just started using them, so he doesn't know that much about them.
Yeah.
And I remember the first day.
Or maybe he's just started using the English language.
Possibly.
Because I don't know one person that's ever. My parents, like I said, are Nigerian. Yeah. Like they don't even call them eye contacts.
Because if he put contacts there, I still think we would have known they were for his eyes.
And I think on the box it says contact lenses.
Yeah.
I think unless.
So, how much sympathy, Tom, on a scale of 1 to 10 for Adam?
I feel sorry for him with the eye problem, but the fact that he's calling him what he is, I'm a bit like, all right, mate, you've just wasted 10 minutes of my life.
So, no sympathy there. Oh, here we go. Yeah, no, this is that shit we don't like. From Ryan in Essex. Someone just farted on the train.
That's
that shit I don't like. You taking a piss?
Are you taking
now,
a piss?
Now, I have to say, this is a winning email for me because you got to hold that shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, wait till, like, at least wait till the next stop, get off, do your fart and get on the next train. Like, I would be horrified if I'd done a fart in public and I knew that other people were smelling it.
Yeah.
Like, even though they're not going to blame me.
Yeah.
I would step off the
train.
Because
you know who they blame,
for the next
if me
one.
And you were on the same.
Yeah, they blame you all day long. The big man. The big man. No woman's getting blamed, by the way. No woman's getting blamed.
They fart all the time.
Of course they do.
Little sneaky quiet ones.
Yeah, properly rancid as well.
I had a terrible thing the other day. I was walking down Oxford Street at quite a pace and I was, oh man, I got a fart. It was in the fresh air and I stopped really suddenly to do it. And literally, I didn't know what was coming behind me, and there was a little old lady who literally walked into the back
got
of
the downwind.
Me, and then took a big fart to the face.
Oh,
man.
Shit!
She took it right to the, and she went.
Did she have a baby with her?
Yeah, no, it was not.
Like, this is insane. Nicki Minaj, isn't it? Just come
she
in and fart on my
after.
Young.
How the hey? How are the farts dealt with on planes? Because I don't smell that much fart on a plane, but everybody's drilling them into the seats.
Oh, yeah.
For hours, bro. 9-10 hours.
You've got it, right?
And we're all eating salted goods and drinking way too much. Is it something to do with the altitude?
It must be, yeah. Do you know the worst place to do it, right? Is like, you know when you're going like on a gig and it's like in Manchester and you're going with a load of people that you don't really know. You're doing a comedy gig, a music gig, and you're sitting in a car. And then you get that one smelly loser who just lets one out. And you're like, dude. And it's freezing.
Yeah.
It's December. And you've done a Christmas gig and he's eating too much turkey and stuffing. And you're on the way back and you're like, oh, come on, man. And you know that's just a start. Yeah. No one does one smelly fart and that's it. That's
There's more. They've got more to give.
That's definitely a trick.
Yeah. That's an issue. We've got Larry in Catford back in touch. He was in touch for the first time last week. Baz couldn't bring himself to read out the email, so I read it for him instead, and I will read it out for Larry again.
Please read it out word for word, though. Please do not add.
Larry in Catford this week says, why is hot but not sunny?
Are you taking a piss?
Why? Why is hot but not sunny? Larry emailed the show last week with a similar vein of superb weather-related questions. Larry, you're rapidly becoming one of our favourite emailers. Keep them coming. Keep it Catford. And keep it FUBAR. And last but not least, we have from Lisa in London. I'm living in a shared flat and one boy cannot be bothered to do his washing up. Instead, he keeps it all in his fucking room. You taking a piss?
Are you taking a piss?
So wait, he keeps the washing up in... So
he keeps dirty dishes.
Oh, so he swings, he eats in his room. He's not socially engaged.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
That's his belief.
Oh, man.
He's not lying around.
Maybe he's used everything in the flat, though. She has got no...
That's the point. If it's shared
bowls,
utensils.
Plates. Well, number one, get down IKEA and get yourself your own.
Yeah, what I would say to be diplomatic in that situation, if he's not going to wash up... Like you say, buy all your own shit and fucking keep your shit behind your rancid door in your rancid room. Mm. But don't take every mug in the house when I'm trying to have a cup of tea in the morning.
That is actually taking a piss.
Lisa, we agree with you. And I think actually you probably come out on top there because that is genuinely someone other than yourself who has taken a piss out of your life.
Yeah.
We back you in any attempt that you make to engage this idiot.
Yeah.
Get him to sort his shit out. Thanks, Lisa. And thanks to everybody who's emailed the studio. We'll probably get into another tune and then, oh my God, it's nearly going to be time for the rap. I was going to get this shit finished
off. This is how much I'm looking forward to the rap, man. This is the closest I've been to Doc doing a rap.
Oh, shit. I can't believe we're already at the end of the show. It's gone so fast.
I'm pissed off.
It's mad, isn't it?
I've had the time of my life.
I don't know why you're pissed off. You'll be back on Friday doing that show that I'm not involved in. I bring him in as a guest. I turn around. He's got three shows. Three shows. I brought you in.
Now you can't really steal the world.
Massive, massive thank you to Tom Davis. Where can we see you next?
I think it'll be Plebs now. I think
Plebs, of course. Plebs. Yeah, it's going to be a new season, isn't it?
New season.
I heard about that.
Various other
shout out to Tom Rosenthal.
Loving Tom Rosenthal.
Yeah, man.
Rosie.
Wicked. Well, we'll look out for that. And if you haven't seen Murder in Successville, I think there might still be some episodes available on iPlayer. If not, just seek out that shit because honestly, 100%. It's something special.
Oh, thank you.
Shout out everybody who sent in suggestions for the rap about anything. David Carfee on Twitter, JF1010 on Twitter, Fiona O'Keefe, Greg, Tommy Mouse, DJ Steves. From hey! People Just Do Nothing. Thanks for your suggestions. This week's winner is Tommy Mouse at Tommy the Gurnin 1, who suggested breastfeeding in public. So Tommy Mouse, this is for you. All right, let's do it. Hey yo, everybody knows what Doc's about. I can rap about anything for Tommy Mouse. And his Twitter suggestion, I got a feeling I love it. He wants me to rap about breastfeeding in public. And as a father of two, I have some strong thoughts on nursing kids and how to feed yours. First of all, how could breasts not be best? I can't think of nothing negative about a woman's chest. If she rip it out in the post office, don't stop it. She wanna get her tit out in Tesco? Let's go. Tell me who hates seeing boobs, cause it really ain't me. So bruv, if it's you, what really is the problem? If women release a mammary fam, why are you gonna stop them? See, for me there's two beautiful moments, and as a man of the world, I want the world to know them. Number one is just the feeding of a baby. Number two, some people might label me crazy. That second before the tit hits the lips, technically, specifically speaking, it's just the tit. And when you're seeing that live at 10 a.m, all that I can possibly say is amen.
Instrumental selection.
Yeah, oh, thank you. That was a last minute one as well. And you know what? I wish I could have more time working on the flows.
That was perfect.
One of these weeks, I'm just going to have to freestyle it and see what happens. with such an improviser as Tom Davis in the house, maybe I should do it as a homage to him.
For me, you've earned your stripes, though. This is the reason why you are one of my heroes, because you remember the Deal Real days.
Oh, yeah, I used to freestyle every week.
I used to bunk university to see this guy.
That's how old I am, ladies and gents.
It was the mecca of like British of hip hop, just worldwide, right? Tiny little record store.
His name rings out across all platforms.
Do
we know the man?
He would host, right? And he would freestyle about what rappers came through and rapped about that was written, if you get what I'm saying. He would freestyle better than a lot of these written raps about what they rapped about. It was ridiculous.
Those are the days when you're just in the essence of it, you know? Like, all I did all day long was hip-hop related, and all I did was Blaze. But you know what? We've only got a minute left. There's not much to say. Larry and Catford's just emailed in again. So just the last thank you to Tom Davis. Big thank you to Michael Payne, who stepped in with the loss of Hugh Joseph and Sarah
They're
Love.
They're not dead.
They just have better things to do. Big love to Nat, our producer, and me, your host, Doc Brown. We'll be back next Tuesday with more of the same. And we'll finish the show with our regular emailer, Larry from Catford, who just says, "Why snow not stick?" Thanks, guys. We love you. Bye.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, 30 seconds. Oh, shit.
Okay.
This is really awkward.
So what are you up to after this talk?
Yeah. Anyone want to drink?
Shilly beers? Yeah,
a beer. Yeah, Shilly beers.
If any listeners are listening and you're near Shilly beers, come join us for a drink. But you're buying.
Yeah, yeah. And if it's the podcast, bruv, if you're coming now, like, what are you thinking, fam? You downloaded this like 2 weeks later. We love you. Goodbye. Peace.
Bye-bye.
Love ya.